Chapter 74. Reacher killed the lights and squeezed back through the slit in the plastic. He crossed the empty room and stepped out to the corridor and saw three people, all men. They were walking away from him, talking as they went, piles of three-ring binders in their arms, shirt sleeves, dark pants, unarmed. None of them was McQueen. Reacher let them go. The cost outweighed the gain. Too noisy for no real reason. They opened a blue spot door on the left, way far up the corridor, clearly heading sideways into the first chamber. Four spots down, one room over, one room back. Or whatever. Like map coordinates. Not unlike getting around the Pentagon. They had come out of a room ahead and on the left of where Reacher was standing. Its door was open, and it hadn't been before. Reacher took a breath and counted to three and walked the 30 feet. The room was an office, maybe 20 feet by 17, with one concrete wall and three plywood walls. All four walls were full of shelves. The floor was full of desks. Both desks and shelves were full of paper. Loose, in stacks, clipped together, in rubber bands, in binders. The paper was full of numbers. 6, 7, and 8-figure numbers. Of no great interest or appeal, just raw material to be added and subtracted and multiplied. Which they had been. Most of the papers were like ledger pages. No computers. All paper. More footsteps in the corridor. Reacher listened hard. He heard a door open. He heard it close. He heard nothing else. He stepped back out to the hallway. He figured if McQueen was being held prisoner somewhere, it would be deep in the bowels. 400 feet away, potentially. Way in the back, far from the outside world. In one of two chambers. A complex search pattern. And the long central hallways were death traps. Nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. Apart from the rooms with blue spots. But there weren't many of them. And worrying about sideways escape routes didn't do much for sustained forward motion.
That's a military kind of problem, isn't it? Did you train for this stuff?
Not exactly. Not without people and ordnance and helicopters and radios and fire support, which he didn't have. He checked the room opposite. Another office, 20 feet by 17. Shelves, desks, papers, numbers. Lots of numbers. 6, 7, and 8 figures. All of them added and subtracted. All of them carefully recorded and accounted for. He checked the room next door. Same exact thing. Desks, shelves, papers, and numbers. He retraced his steps and headed back to the first room he had come from, the room with the lateral door. He heard more footsteps in the hallway. He stepped inside the room and closed the door. Now he heard lots of footsteps in the hallway. People running. People shouting. He went Glock first through the slit in the plastic and closed the door behind him. The shortest distance between two points was a straight line. Reacher hustled the length of the third chamber, 400 feet, past all the abandoned trailers, past all the huge sinister bottles. Dust came up from under his feet. It was like walking in thin snow. For the first time, he was glad about his busted nose. His nasal passages were lined with scab tissue. Without it, he'd be sneezing like crazy. The last original door was 10 feet from the end of the tunnel, exactly in line with the last yellow bottle. Exactly in line with its radiation symbol. Reacher pulled it open and took out the fat man's motel key and fought his way through the plastic skin. Cut, rip, cut, rip. Easier in that direction. The plastic bellied out into the room, and he could keep plenty of tension on it. The space beyond was empty. It had been built like a room, but it was being used like a lobby. He listened at the door to the corridor. He heard sounds, but they were distant. They were the sounds of chaos and confusion. A hurried search, combing the length of the building, moving away from him. He was behind the front lines. Way in the back. Far from the outside world. He opened the door. He peered out. Hundreds of feet to his left, men were going room to room. 5 of them, maybe. Searching. In and out, moving away from him. The door opposite had a blue spot. It would be empty. Built like a room, used like a lobby. So Reacher started one room down across the corridor. No blue spot. He crept over to it, slow and silent. He opened the door. An office. Shelves, desks, paper. A man behind one of the desks. Reacher shot him in the head. The blast of the gunshot ripped through the chamber, barely muffled at all by the plywood partitions. Reacher stepped back to the door. He peered out. Hundreds of feet away, the five searchers were frozen in place, bodies moving one way, eyes the other. Reacher put the Glock in his pocket and took one of the Colts off his shoulder, a submachine gun. He clicked it to full auto and held it high and sighted down the barrel. He pulled the trigger and fought the muzzle climb. 20 rounds at the rate of 900 a minute. Less than a second and a half. Smooth as a sewing machine. All five men went down. Probably three dead, one wounded, one panicking. Not that Reacher was keeping score. He already knew the score. He was winning. So far. He dropped the empty gun and slipped the other Colt off his other shoulder. He thought, time to visit the first chamber. Time to keep him guessing. He ducked back to the door with a blue spot. He opened it. He went in. Built like a room, used like a lobby. But not empty. There was a staircase in it. It was a metal thing, like a ladder. Steep, like something from a warship. It led into a vertical tunnel through the roof concrete. At the top of the vertical tunnel was a square steel hatch, massive, with cantilevered arms and springs and a rotary locking wheel, like in a submarine. It was closed. Reacher figured it would be domed on the outside, designed to seat itself tighter under the pulsing pressure of a blast wave. The locking wheel drove pegs through a complicated sequence of gears into clips all around the rim. The wheel was in the unlocked position. That was obvious. None of the pegs was engaged. Clearly, the guys on the roof had closed the hatch behind them to hide the light from below, to preserve their night vision and for secrecy. But they had left it unlocked so they could get back in. Common sense. The smart move would have been to shin up the ladder and spin the locking wheel so that whoever was out there stayed out there. That way Reacher could have continued his inside activities undisturbed. But the sniper was out there, with his M14, and his one gone magazine, and probably a big smug smile on his face. Reacher turned out the lobby light. He waited 4 seconds in the dark for his irises to open wide. Then another minute for his retinal chemistry to kick in. Then he found the handrail by feel and started climbing.